you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. Try truecrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on orders, $75 and up. 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows. And if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to truecrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, truecrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Here we go, Night of the Living Dreads podcast here in the Insane Asylum, episode 67. I'm Otis B. Dreads. We have, of course, Night of the Living Dom here. You know why? You know why, Dom? Dom. Dom's here. It's because we are in the quarantine theater. That's right. Reviewing three movies for your pleasure or displeasure. We have Night of the Living Dom. Dom the Movie Man. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm awesome. We also have Mr. Don Skrull, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown.
Yeah, my ice cream. Where's my ice cream?
You don't have ice cream?
I don't have my ice cream
today.
I'm going to go stab a guard.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Yeah, it could be bad, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to check out if you want to see what happens to Mr. Don Skrull, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown. Go to his Chiller's Facebook page, Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls. We're also over there, Night of the Living Dreads, Dreads with no A. We have a page that you can check out the podcast. We also have a group where you can come interact. Don't be a dick or you'll leave. But have fun. You can also check out the podcast over there at Spotify and Stitcher and Night of the Living Dreads.com. Before we get into our movies, I have to give, you know, a couple little shout-outs. One, of course, as you heard in the beginning, truecrime7.store. Great, great seven. Place. Yes, 7. You got to spell out 7, as you heard. I got my Don't Trust Hippies with a picture of Charles Manson coffee cup. It is so awesome. The quality is great. And Mrs. Dredd's also got a serial killer coloring book. There's some in there I haven't even heard of. It's fucking great. And I'm gonna tell you the best part. If any of our listeners go there and just put a promo code, as you heard, NLD, you get 10% off of anything in the store, your entire fucking purchase. That's pretty badass, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal.
Why are you laughing so fucking hard?
Have you seen the video of Charles Manson on YouTube where he gets down? He can dance, man.
Right.
He was sitting at a table and he was describing things and somebody put it to a music and he was getting down.
Oh, that was hilarious. Mr. Night of the Living Dom, you had something you wanted to say.
I don't remember now. Medication.
Right. And that brings us to our next little point. This show, at least on this end, is brought to you by Gelato. Now, Gelato is a strain of cannabis. I am a patient here in the god-awful state of Ohio. When I am a patient, I go to one. I've had my card for about 6 months, and I go to one? What's that?
You go to one?
I go to one, not Juan.
Oh, you go to? Oh, I thought you said you go to Juan.
Juan? No, I go. I go. This fucking guy. I go to. I go to one dispensary. One.
What?
Dispensary here in the state of Ohio and where I'm at. And that is Pure Ohio Wellness. So this podcast is brought to you by Gelato. I want to tell you guys a little bit about Gelato. And this comes from what'd you call me?
It's an ice cream too.
Yeah.
Gelato?
Right. Of course it is. Of course you would know that. Trust the clown. Okay. Now, Gelato, the strain of cannabis, also referred to as Larry Bird, is a tantalizing hybrid cannabis strain from the cookie fam. That'd be, I guess, Girl Scout cookie and things like that. And Sherbinski, following in the footsteps of his parents, Sunset Sherbert and Thin Mint GC or GSC. This Bay Area, California native gets his name from the fruity, dessert-like aroma. Yummy. I bet you like that, Skrull, because you like desserts, don't you?
I like desserts.
Yeah.
I tell you what. You said Larry Bird. Does it make you fly?
Oh, I'm flying.
Like a bird?
Oh, yeah. Big bird.
We could jump off the roof later and see what happens.
Yeah. Let's try that.
I'm down. I want to give a shout out. I'm being sponsored by Sketchy Leroy down on the corner of 8th Street and 14th Avenue in Beaver Falls.
Nice. Sketchy Leroy. It's fucking hilarious.
Yo, Sketchy Leroy, my boy.
Yo, Leroy, this goes out to you, bro. Thanks for being on that corner. My nigga.
This lemon skunk OGs.
That's right. Woo! What's saying? Anyway, this is a very good strain. I got for $20. I got 2.83 grams of this. So we're talking. I mean, when you break that down per gram and you look at the quality, if you got that from fucking Leroy,
you probably pay about 25 a gram.
That's a going price. 20 is a going price.
Yeah. I paid 10, and I'm legally allowed to have it. So a big shout out to Gelato Pure Ohio Wellness. I know it is strictly Ohio, but yeah, it is what it is. All right, let's get in.
Jesse Leroy's a local guy.
Yeah, but Leroy's local too. So if you are, you know, are close to
the Greater Beaver Falls area,
right. I mean, hey, get a hold of Leroy. He's got your back, bro. It's fucking hilarious. All right. Speaking of fucking hilarious. Tell you a fucking story. Okay, we got three movies tonight. We have Night of the Living Dead 3D from 2006, starring the late great Sid Haig. We have Maniac from 1980, great movie, and we had one that I came across, The Ward from 2010. We're going to start in the order that I just announced these movies. Now, Mr. Skrull, you picked Night of the Living Dead 3D. Now, before we get into the movie, there's a really funny story about this. And I think Mr. Night of the Living Dom the movie, man, should actually explain this story a little bit, and how there was a lot of confusion going on. Am I wrong?
No, you're correct. It's due to the current situation in the world. It seems like the asylum here is slightly understaffed, so we have a little more freedom than normal. And
yeah,
I managed to somehow watch the wrong movie three different times.
That is. Yeah,
I didn't watch
funny.
Night of the Living Dead 3D, but I did watch. I did watch City of the Dead by Lucio Fulci made back in 1980, and I watched Return of the Living Dead Part 3 from sometime in like 96 or something like that, and I watched part of another movie called High Moon, but I did not watch the one I was supposed
that,
to.
That was actually picked. Yeah. And that is actually pretty fucking hilarious. I don't even know what to say about that. You watch like 3 weeks worth of quarantine theater, you know, in a week.
Plus I watched Maniac and Ward. Yeah.
Right. So you have pretty much tally up how many movies you watch, given
like
even the wrong
ones.
Movie,
like, right? Yeah, four and a third. It would be Maniac, The Ward, Return of the Living Dead Part 3, City of the Dead, and part of High Moon.
That is dedication right there. I wish I had the applause button going, but I don't right now. No,
I don't deserve it. I missed the one I was supposed to watch.
well, here's the thing, okay? Skrull, you had mentioned that it was on Amazon Prime for free. You didn't know how long it was going to be there, right?
Right.
And we tried to go there, and there was something, you know, kind of fucked up with our Prime account. I don't know what the hell was going on. Jody was doing it. And then I was like, the hell with it. Let's just go to the Fire Stick. We went to the Fire Stick, and we couldn't get, you know, stream going. So I also have not even seen this movie. Again, it's a remake that, you know, had Sid Haig in it. So I was kind of drawn to that. Don, Mr. Skrull, this is all you, brother. Tell us about this remake from 2006.
Well, this movie is paying homage to Romero, and it looks like it's paying homage to Savini all at the same time. So it's a mixture
of Romero.
How is that?
How do they do that? I mean, is it the special effects? I mean, what?
Well, the special effects were...
Or do they go along? Sorry to cut you off. Or do they go along, you know, with the whole way that Tom Savini did that remake, which we reviewed here on the podcast, and it got, you know, all five skulls from all of us. What was it kind of playing off that more than the Romero film? Because I haven't seen it. Enlighten us.
Well, in the beginning of the movie, it starts off with showing Romero's opening scene of them driving up the road to the cemetery.
We were at that cemetery. Me and Dom were.
Really? It's I would like to go to that cemetery. It'd be cool. But it starts off like that, and then it goes off to like Barbara and her, I guess, her brother, and like they get to the cemetery and they get attacked by zombies.
Run off.
He gets in the car and he just drives off.
Like, what the brother does?
Yeah, the brother does. He just drives off.
So that's nothing like the original, because the brother dies.
Yeah, he drives off. And she goes and she's walking and trying to find help. And running down away from these zombies and stuff, Barbie is. And this guy on this motorcycle comes out of nowhere. Like, out of nowhere.
Okay. And I already fucking hate it.
He kicks over a zombie and he kicks another one, or punches another one. And then he grabs Barb and puts her on the back of it. And come to find out, the guy on the motorcycle ends up being Ben. And Ben is a white guy in this movie.
What?
Yes.
Shut the fuck. I'm so glad I didn't watch this movie.
And he's a drug dealer.
A white drug dealer? Oh, well, it would have been pretty bad if he was a black drug dealer. Then it would have been all racist. Yeah. Right?
But that's why they probably put the drug dealing part in.
But before that, it really didn't even make sense. She runs to the cemetery crematorium, like the crematorium in place in the cemetery.
Right.
Before she was saved by Ben, and meets Mr. LeVar or something like it is his last name, and okay. it's Sid Haig. And she walks into this crematorium, like in the parking lot, and this guy, this naked guy, is eating this other guy's brains.
Right.
So she walks up and she's like trying to find whoever it is, or trying to find, you know, a way to get into this crematorium. And Sid Haig walks up behind her and says, "You don't need to be here, you know, there's certain things that's going on and you need to leave."
What is his role? I mean, what is his character? The Undertaker. Okay.
He's the Undertaker.
Gotcha. Maybe okay. I missed that. Sorry. God damn.
But he runs around with a shovel trying to kill these zombies.
Okay.
She goes to the farmhouse, right, where they all meet up usually, and there's zombies there and everything. Well, there's no zombies there. There's a little girl, another lady, the farm guy, and another lady besides that, and then...
the characters were memorable.
And Barb and Ben. Right? So they get in there and the other guys are sitting on the couch watching TV.
Why wouldn't they be?
They're watching The Night of the Living Dead.
Shut the fuck up.
They're sitting there watching the original one on TV.
And here comes Sid Haig with a fucking shovel swinging it. It sounds like the dumbest fucking remake I've ever heard of.
Well, there was a guy in there, and he was smoking a doobie.
Okay. All right. Let me just stop you there. How does this fucking movie end? I mean, do they kill the drug dealer? Do they throw him on a pile of fire?
I'll make it easy.
All right.
Because
nobody spoil it, because nobody's gonna watch this fucking movie.
Well, the zombies look really good, and the zombies move like they were supposed to. And there was blood, and the blood looked cool because, you know, the guts and everything looked great.
Right.
You know, coming out of them and everything. But anyway, make a long story short, LeVar, which is Sid Haig, his dad was the original Undertaker, and they were supposed to burn these bodies, right? And they were supposed to burn medical bodies, too, and they wouldn't license. So they would get these bodies in for medical experiments and stuff, and whatever it was that was in the medical experiments made the bodies come to life. But he thought he was like a Jesus or a God or something.
Really?
And he was bringing people back to life. He ended up turning on Ben. He actually knocks Ben out, and takes him to the crematorium.
What's Ben selling? You say he's a drug dealer. What's he selling?
Weed and some other stuff. I don't know. He had a great big wad of money wrapped up in a rubber band, and she was like, "Oh, you're a drug dealer."
So you never really saw him like selling drugs.
No.
Night of the Living Dom. What thoughts can you gather from what we just heard about this movie, my friend?
From what I just heard, like this abomination of a film that had never been fucking even thought of. Like, who the fuck wants to see? Let's take something that was done great, that was done amazing. And granted, it had been remade, but the guy who did a remake of it did, like, a near-perfect version, like, wow, it's great too.
Yes.
So now we have two amazing versions of one of the greatest films ever, and they're both so enjoyable. Who's the asshole that would be like, I need to make my version? You ain't seen nothing. Like, fuck Romero, fuck Savini. Who's the producer? Who's the director on this fucking
the producer and director is Jeff Broadstreet. He is the director and producer.
This guy thinks he's going to get his name like above Romero or you know what I mean? Savini, like, why? What possessed him to say, I'm going to make my Living Dead, but in 3D? And then do whatever it takes my own fucking freedom with it. Like, fuck that. That sounds like shit.
It does.
You know what doesn't sound like shit, though, real quick? Because we never brought this up, and we are talking about Night of the Living Dead. For the listeners out there, there's a Facebook page. Go to the Night of the Living Dead Museum. It's in Evans City, Pennsylvania, but they got a page for it. We've been there. It is one of the coolest places. If you ever come to Pennsylvania, you have to come to Evans City. Everyone talks about the mall for Dawn of the Dead up in Monroeville. No. I mean, you could do all three of them in the same day, actually. You could do the Dawn of the Dead. You can go to where Monroeville Mall is.
Yep.
Then you can go to Evans City, and you can go to where the original cemetery in Night of the Living Dead is. You can stop at the museum. And, I mean, memorabilia is amazing. Like, they got a radio in there that plays the original. It's like an old 1940s, 50s, 60s radio, and it plays the original broadcast that they were listening to on the radio.
Oh, they got great costumes.
Yeah, it's awesome. They even made a replica, like a little model replica of the Dawn of the Dead mall.
Yeah, and not only that, man, to elaborate on that, yes, it's a little like back of the store, you know, kind of cheap museum, you know, like $5. But for zombie fans and horror fans, it was absolutely amazing. Now, there was a wall. Remember the wall at the very back where people would, you know, take and, you know, put red paint on their hand. Bill Moseley signed his name on this wall. This is a place where, you know, a guy I really want to interview. Yes, Otis B. Driftwood, Bill Moseley was right there at that very spot we were in. And they do. They have a little mini replica of the mall. It is absolutely awesome. I bought a T-shirt where I, you know, the little books. And real quick, scroll, and then, you know, you have the floor. I bought a little book. It says Sanderson's or Sanderson Museum of Witchcraft, Salem, Massachusetts. It's just like a notepad that we got there. That's where Jody bought the 30-year-old gum and decided to eat it. But, okay, Skrull, go ahead.
Back to the movie, yeah.
Right.
Well, the movie, to sum it all up, he was supposed to burn the bodies. They come to life. He thinks he give them life. He tries to kill Ben and Barbara, and the zombies end up killing Sid Haig, which is LeVar, and it was just a shit show.
A shit show. Okay, because that's kind of what, you know, me and Night Living Dom there figured out. That it was a shit show. And we didn't even watch the motherfucker. So
y'all wanted to watch it. Y'all wanted to watch it, but it deserved its from IMDb. I mean, it was bad.
Okay, so all right, how bad is it in the eyes of this girl?
Well,
I mean,
we had the iconic Sid Haig in it, which that helped.
Deserves one skull at least.
One skull. The zombies were really done in the version of like Savini would do. So that would, you know, deserve another skull.
Okay.
So, and then it trying to, like, I don't know. I would give it probably 2.5 skulls.
2.5? Really? Half? Wow. Half. That's fucking generous as fuck, because I haven't even seen it, and I'll just give it one skull, and I'm not even in this, so.
it was horrible. Well, I didn't tell what the IMDb rating was. It was only like a 3.6.
Yeah.
Out of 10, let's stress that.
Out of 10, yeah.
So I even gave it a worse rating than IMDb. Which,
no, you actually gave it better. That's out of 10. You gave IMDb gave it 5, that would have been half. You gave it 5 or half of our 5 skull rating.
But that's counting 5, 10, 15 skulls, because y'all wasn't able to watch it. It's still 2.5 out of 15 skulls. Me,
I'll give that a fair. I'll second that. I don't need to watch it.
We'll
put it in the history book.
Right.
2.5 out of 15.
Yeah. Okay. No. Now that. Yeah. That's commendable.
Yeah. It was bad.
All right. Thank you. Well, go ahead, Skrull. What do you want to add to that? Thank you for this masterpiece.
That movie, Blood Moon or whatever.
High Moon.
Moon. It was better than this movie.
Shut up. I couldn't get through 10 minutes of that.
I started that shit, and it's like, wow, look, cowboys and werewolves and vampires and karate, and like, this should be great, but it sucks. It's so low budget. It looks like, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like when I saw like my buddy found his dad's porn stash in like 1986. That's how the quality started off. It was like 1986 porno quality. And I was like, I can't watch this film. This is definitely not for me.
I'd still say it would rate higher than what this movie would be.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, the next movie on our list is the 1980 film Maniac. Now, I know a lot of our listeners have probably already seen this because this is, and if you haven't, you fucking should. This was picked by Mr. Night of the Living Dom. Tell us about this film. This is a great one, man. Psychological kind of slasher film.
Right. This is a pretty much just following a serial killer around who is just mentally broken and fractured and can't have a normal. Well, it seems like at times he might be capable of having a normal relationship.
Yeah,
with
one part in the movie he does. Yeah.
But then that goes bad, and that ultimately becomes his downfall, was right there at the end. And, you know, you're following a brutal serial killer around who is on a murder spree and kills a lot of people in a very short period. It's almost, I mean, look at how it came out in 1980. I almost think of it, it's what's combined here to me is a lot of ideas of different serial killers. Like, he's attacking like David Berkowitz. Like, it's almost right. Like the Son of Sam, but he's collecting trophies and he's bringing home and he's putting them on mannequins. He's scalping his victims when he can, and he's bringing them home and he's putting them on mannequins, almost reminiscent of Ed Gein in a way. So right. You have that in there, and then he's just broken, like, mentally, almost like Edmund Kemper.
He
like, he's got
him.
Almost different personalities, and he's obsessed with his mother, and yeah, you know what? When this movie came out, it got trashed, like, for having no redeeming qualities. They were like, you should never watch this film. Like, there is no reason on the face of this earth to ever watch this film.
I have a different
and I watched
opinion.
This film, and I was like, this is one of my favorite films of all time because
right.
It has no redeeming qualities. I know. You're just watching people get brutally murdered for like, and ain't that what you want sometimes? Like, don't you just want to, you know what? Give me the killer's perspective. I don't want to sympathize or empathize with any of the victims. I want to see this from the killer's world. Take me down
right.
That alley. And that's what this takes you down. And it's dark and it's done right. Like, one of the best scenes is that when he runs up on the hood of the car when the couple's parked and they're making out.
Yes.
And he's got that double barrel shotgun, and the barrel is what, maybe 2 feet away from dude's head, and he shoots him in the face. Like, it is one of the greatest special effects scenes.
Yeah.
And it's 1980.
I wanted to bring that part up. Because he jumps on the car, and the boyfriend in that scene is none other than Tom Savini.
Sex machine.
And, you know, they're making out, like you said, in the back seat. You know, Tom Savini wants to get his salami all up in the Arby's. And, oh, that
right.
Was bad. And so they go in the back. They go in the back seat, and you know they're all getting into it. And she sees this guy. That was creepy as hell. Where you seen him just staring
peeking
in the car,
in.
And then
yeah,
you know
creeper,
they
like.
Get up and they're like, you know, she's like, oh man, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. He's like, man, what? Man, shit, ain't nobody around here, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Tom Savini's not black, as you all know. And, you know, he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, he turns on the headlights, and you see this guy standing. He jumps up on the hood of the car, aims that shotgun, and this is going through the windshield and blows his fucking head off. That right there, that was, I don't know, it was an amazing scene. We are all sick here in this insane asylum, but am I wrong, Skrull? That was an amazing scene. What'd you think about this movie, man?
It had some amazing scenes, period. You know, the killing scenes and stuff like that, the blood, The blood looked, you know,
like blood.
Looked like blood. You know, it was
man of many words.
It was a well done killer. You know, a killer. That's all. Well, I mean, it's a well done serial killer movie. What else? You know, I mean, it's a serial killer.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's a, you know, the guy's mentality, it was just like I think I read something where the guy was like sexually molested by his mother or something that caused him to snap.
I don't know. Did you get that, Dom? Did you get that in the movie? Have you heard that?
I knew that, like, I mean, you definitely get the thing that there's something there with his mom. Like, he's obsessed with his mom. And it looks like at times, like, everything he's doing is for his mom. Or maybe, like, that's who he's talking to when he's got the mannequins. Right. Maybe that's who he's thinking of. There's,
So is there an Edmund Kemper type thing there, an Edmund Kemper?
I was going to say there is a flashback scene where he's strangling, like one of the first women that they show him strangling, he sees a different woman being strangled.
Right.
And I don't know if they ever showed who that woman was supposed to be, like if that was just like supposed to be his first victim or if that was supposed to be his mother. But like I think he said in the movie that his mother died in a car accident or something. But like, of course, you wouldn't say, "Well, my mother died because I raped her and strangled her to death." Like,
right.
But like, there's definitely stuff there that I mean, it could be inferred that that could be that would make a lot of sense.
I think Skrull just dropped his phone or whatever the fuck he's talking to us on. Go ahead, Skrull.
No. That wasn't me. But I mean, as far as it being a classic, you know, killer slasher, serial killer movie, it was well thought through.
Psychological slasher is what they label it as. Yeah.
Yeah, it was well thought through. I mean, it was just. You know, it had no reason. Kind of like Tyre, it had no reason. But
No. Whoa. I'm going to stop you the fuck there because that was a whole bunch of that you just said right there. All right. You cannot compare this goddamn movie to Rubber. There's no way. No, this had a reason. This had a fucking reason. Okay. He's a serial killer. Well, you know, you can speculate on what went wrong, you know, in his childhood, but no, there's a fucking reason in Maniac.
Yeah, this is his crime spree right here.
Right. It's a crime spree. It's not fucking Tyre. It's a human being. It's your next door neighbor. Dom, let's hand out some skulls, my friend.
You
pick this one. Go for it.
This is one of my all-time favorite films. It's a serial killer film, like I said, from the perspective of the serial killer. You get the story. Here's the crime spree that this guy goes on. This is his victims, and it's done excellently. It's gritty, and it's dark, and it's brutal, and it's everything you want from a slasher film, from a film about a serial killer. This is a movie that you, after the first time, you might want to go take a cold shower after you watch it. Like, yeah, I need to wash that one away. I have to give it 5 skulls because I have seen this movie multiple times and I will continue to watch this film throughout the rest of my life.
All right. 5 skulls from Mr. Night of the Living Dom. Mr. Skrull, Piggy Pie Ogopogo. What are you giving this one, my friend?
I'm going to give it probably 3.5 skulls.
The fuck? What kind of pills did they give you today here in the insane asylum?
Well, I would give it higher, but it reminded the guy that played the part of the serial killer reminded me of somebody I knew that I didn't like very much.
Oh, so this is a person.
He's probably a serial killer.
Yeah, he may be. maybe it was a story about him.
Maybe, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, okay. I'd probably give it higher if it didn't remind me of somebody like that. Probably, I'd give it probably about 4 skulls.
I get it. But, I get it. All right. Okay, so 3.5. We have 8.5 out of 15 skulls. And you know what? Dom, Night of the Living Dom, I'm following fucking suit. I give this 5 fucking skulls. I think this is a great fucking movie from the 80s about a serial killer. I think it dives into how a... Because like you said, Dom, you want to know. I mean, you have no fucks given for, you know, the victims. You want to know how this guy is working, and he goes home and he hammers in nails, you know, little tacks, right? You know, to the head of these mannequins, from, you know, the scalps. Oh my God, this is just an awesome fucking movie. Yeah.
And it's what, 40 years old, and it's still good. At 40 years,
yeah,
it's still that good.
I'll watch it tonight.
That's the other. It's not dated, where there's movies that you liked in the 80s that you can watch because you liked them in the 80s, but, like, no, this is like it stands the test of time.
It does.
That's why I gave it 5 skulls.
It still stands
up to this very day.
I agree. So, 13.5. Out of 15. So it's recommended here in the Insane Asylum. You know, I just want to make note that Mr. Skrull only gave 1 more skull, you know, than he did with his pick.
Now you're Living Dead 3D.
Yeah.
So 1.5 skull.
You gave this one 3.5, and you gave that one 2.5.
Oh, well, that's true. But I would have gave it more, like I said, if it hadn't reminded me of somebody.
All right.
I would have.
You're weird.
Yeah.
All right. Now.
Be locked up in insane asylum if I wasn't weird.
Yeah, you got that right. My fucking pick this week was a movie I came across. I went on YouTube looking for horror movies, free horror movies just to watch. Shit I've never seen before. It came up, The Supernatural. Then I started looking at the comments, and it's like, no, this is The Ward. So that is... our movie, The Ward, like a mental ward, from 2010. And this is kind of a supernatural, psychological, horror-type movie. This movie, I don't know. Before we get into it, I love movies that involve asylums and mental wards. What do you guys think? Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, it reminds me of home.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I love movies that way.
I do, though. No, yeah. I'm a big fan of them. Like, when they're done right.
When they're done right. Skrull, are you a fan of movies that, you know, have that setting in a, you know, mental ward?
You had a mental ward, a mental asylum.
An asylum,
you
yes.
Had paranormal. You had killings.
Yes.
This movie was awesome. And a plot twist.
Oh, man. You have no idea until the end. Now, basically, what this film is about, it starts off with, you know, the main character being Kristen. Now, you see Kristen, okay? You hear about an 18-year-old that's missing. I think it was 18 or so. And this movie was directed by the, you know, great John Carpenter, by the way. This girl, Kristen, missing, 18-year-old missing. You see Kristen in the woods, and she's running from cops. She goes to this farmhouse that seems to be out in the middle of, like, nowhere. There's not a lot of fucking neighbors. And she sets it on fire.
Yes.
And the cops happen to be driving around these roads. Well, I'm sorry, Dom. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I didn't try nothing.
Oh, my bad.
That's a voice in your head, bro.
Oh, God. Can I get some pills here?
Anyway. Give me the purple one.
More gelato. Anyway, the cops happen to be driving down this back road, see this, fire, this house ablaze. They get her because they already have kind of like an APB out on an 18-year-old girl somewhere around that age. They take her to an asylum. And it gets quite strange. I'm not sure how, this is a trouble I had with trying to talk about this film, is that those that have never seen this film, how much can you say about it? You know, when you have actually watched it all the way through and, know how it ends. Like you said, Skrull, plot twist. I mean, how do you talk about this movie without fucking spoiling it? If those, I haven't seen it. How do you do that, Skrull?
Well, you would tell them that it started off with a girl named Kristen.
Just like I fucking did.
One, two, three, was it four or five girls?
I think it was like five or six of them with Kristen. Okay.
And they were locked in the asylum with them. And the asylum starts off as looking like it's haunted.
Right.
And these girls go missing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're killed off by this ghost. And it's a vengeful ghost. Just like, what's that one movie we watched? Kind of like with the razor blades, Mora.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right. Some kind of hate.
Some kind of hate.
Yeah.
Except she's using lobotomy tools and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness. There was a scene. I got to stop you there. There was a scene in this movie where what you see, it almost reminded me, and it kind of did, in certain ways, of Dream Warriors. Freddy Krueger. Okay. And there's a scene where one of the girls that you were talking about, is strapped into this chair. Now, if you know anything about, the history of insane asylums and whatnot, they would do lobotomies to try and change the function of the brain. Okay. And they would do this by taking an ice pick type tool and going in through the corner of the fucking eye and just go in there and disrupt the functioning of the brain, thinking that would change them. Oh my goodness. Night of the Living Dom. What do you got to say about that one, my friend?
That scene right there is just like, that is one of the most brutal scenes. That's definitely the most brutal scene in the movie.
It was hard to watch. Like, my butthole puckered.
Yeah, it was one of them things where, like, I mean, even when you brought it up now, I kind of, like, almost, like, curled up, like, oh, I could feel it. You know what I mean? Like, I grabbed my head and, like, I covered my eye, like, oh, my God, yeah, I can feel that going in.
Yeah.
And it's the way, it's not even, because back then, the way they did it compared to, you know, the ghost, the ghost isn't going to do it in a professional manner. It's just a pow, fuck you, pow, you're lobotomized. And it is so brutal. It is definitely, like, to me, that is the scene in the movie that is the most powerful I would watch away with it. Like, wow, yeah.
That, yeah. And that, I think, was one of the first kills.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Would you think about that kill, Skrull?
It was brutal. Like, brutal.
I mean, what else can you say about it, right?
It's, I mean, what else? I mean, brutal. It was barbaric.
It makes your butthole pucker.
It makes everything.
It does, you feel it.
Yeah, you really do. You're like, oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, the only other thing about the movie was the other kill where they took Sarah, which is the redheaded girl in the movie, and strapped her to a bed and turned the electrocution.
Fried her.
Electric charge.
And fried her like a hot dog.
That was kind of funny.
And watching her bleed from, like, eyes and her nose and whatever else. All
right. I hear feedback. Now, who the fuck is that? That's got to be Dom. His $40 Walmart phone.
How can I be getting feedback? I don't even have a mic.
You don't have a what? Well, no, it's coming through. Were you on speaker?
Who, me, though?
No. Oh, well, then it's Skrull.
You're blaming difficulties on me.
Yes, I am.
I'm not on a headset.
I don't hear it now.
Well, that.
All right, so fucking continue.
it's the ghost from the asylum.
Right, it's the ghost from the asylum. Right, I got my own asylum here. We're all in it, man. We'll see the ghost. Don't worry. So, all right, now without like really spoiling the end, because this is a movie, when I watched it all the way through, I was like, oh, okay. That was a mind fuck. And I don't want, you know, to take and spoil it, but there are a lot of good kills. Like you said, Skrull, there was, you know, what, 4, 5, 6 girls. Okay, including Kristen. And, yeah, all of a sudden they just started disappearing. They started getting killed brutally. You know, electric shock therapy, fucking ice pick type deal. That was a brutal looking weapon, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, yeah, all these girls start disappearing. And then you find out why. And you are not going to hear that tonight. Because this is... I want to so bad. I hear you kind of giggling a little bit, I think, Dom. Right? You want to say something. Go ahead.
Right? It's not a new movie. It's not. But at the same time, it's one of the movies where, like, if someone listening right now hasn't seen it, like, you don't want to say, You know what I mean? Because, like, a lot of people haven't seen it. I haven't even heard of this film.
Right. I didn't either. I didn't know John Carpenter was even making fucking films in 2010.
Right.
I had no idea. Like,
if we talked about, you know, the outcome of this film, like, it would ruin it for the first time viewing. It definitely would ruin it.
Yes.
Going into this film and knowing it. So it's best not to talk about it. But it's clear from what we have discussed that I think everybody's kind of going to be in agreement that it's worth watching. Like, that's why we're not spoiling it and ruining it for people who haven't seen it. Because I think all three of us are going to recommend that you do check this film out.
I agree. Very well said. I'll start the skulls. And maybe, like, Skrull's last pick, or last skull rating, you know, it was a personal thing, so he gave it lower. I'm giving this, honestly, and it's because of my personal, you know, type shit. I'm giving it 5 skulls. I think this is a great psychological, you know, ghost horror. It's got good, in your face type kills. I'm giving it 5 skulls. No apology. There you go. Otis B. Dreads. Bam. What are you giving it? Night of the Living Dumb.
I'm gonna preface my rating with saying that normally, like, this type of film wouldn't be the subgenre of horror that I would go into personally. So it's not my particular favorite, like the psychological kind of thriller kind of suspense that this is. But this is done so well, and the story is so good that I get this is a 4-star rating.
A high,
you know what? Let me give it four
skull.
Give it 4.5 on it.
Okay,
four and a half. Some of the 4-stars. Yeah.
Okay, 4.5. So we have 9.5 so far. Mr. Skrull, what are you giving? The War, John Carpenter.
Legendary John Carpenter's director. Paranormal, which I love, set in a sane asylum.
Where we're at, it felt like home, like Dom said.
The blood and stuff's done well. The ghost looks really good. There's nothing really bad I can say. The doctor played his part really well. The wardens, the nurses, everything.
Right.
5 skulls.
5. Bam, there you go. 14.5 out of 15 fucking skulls. There you go. There you fucking go. So,
I'm hearing feedback. Is that you? What is, do you hear it, or is it just, am I hearing it?
No. I've been hearing it too. I don't know where it's coming from. It's got to be one of you two fucks.
It's the ghost in the asylum.
It's the ghost.
Like I said, we're understaffed here, so.
We are understaffed. Oh, man. That's fucking hilarious. All right. You know what we are? We're also out of fucking time. It doesn't matter. There you go, Night of the Living Dreads. Okay, we got what? The Ward. We have Night of Living Dead 3D, Return of Living Dead Part 3.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
I know. I know, but it was all the movies you watched. And
I could review that. Yeah. One skull.
We also had the maniac that we talked about. You crazy bastards were out.
Can you help me? All I wanted to do was play with you. so lonely? Why do you seem so scared? I know things no one knows. We're going to die.